You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramillo, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana. 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. The Miami Heat kicked off their 2020-21 season on Wednesday night. It was an exciting time. Changes to the starting lineup, facing a familiar foe. Unfortunately, the ending was all too familiar, as well as the Heat dropped a 113-107 loss to the Orlando Magic. They traveled upstate. Some fans in the Amway Center there watching as Miami started off the season looking a little less than themselves. There were a number of reasons for it. I'll get into it throughout the episode. I'll recap some of the game and then get into my thoughts before answering your questions that you send in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. So let's get into it. The big story of the game for me, well, it's a season opener. It was exciting after watching two games last night on TNT. It was good to see a big slate of games taking place on Wednesday night, and for the Heat, traveling to Orlando was an exciting opportunity, I think. It was interesting to see that they would be going up there to face a familiar foe again with about 5,000 fans. I think that was reported that they were allowing about 5,000. So some social distancing in between groups of fans. You couldn't really see too much of that. You couldn't really hear them. I'm not sure if there was still crowd noise being pumped in. I heard some chants of let's go Heat, even at the Amway Center at less than half capacity. So that would be interesting. As far as the actual gameplay is concerned, you know, they looked sharp in the Toronto Raptors preseason game. They had a week off since then, or a couple days anyway. Obviously, a very short preseason. You go into a game like this expecting some sloppiness, right? I mean, it's been a short turnaround, very short preseason, training camp, everything else. So many different factors, trying to incorporate new players, changes to the starting lineup. And that was one of the things that I immediately saw was the starting lineup that Eric Spoelstra trotted out there. Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, of course, alongside Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, as I expected. Mo Harkless getting the start instead of Myers Leonard. Not sure exactly what the thought process is there. Leonard, just as we saw in the Orlando bubble, did not play at all, getting paid a lot of money to just sit there on the bench. Very, very startling to me. I'm not sure what the decision-making process is unless you're trying to sign him this year because he's a good presence and a good locker room guy and can impact the game by if he gets any playing time, I suppose. I mean, he was a plus starter last year for most of the regular season before he got hurt and then before the Orlando bubble. So a little confusing there. I'm not touting Myers Leonard as the option or the best potential starter here. I'm just not sure that Mo is the right fit. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But as far as Myers is concerned, I don't know why you pay him that money unless you're going to be using him as some sort of trade piece later on. And that's, you know, I'm not sure exactly how that happens. I know there's a player option for next year. I'm sorry, a team option for next year that the Heat are likely not to exercise. So it's an interesting decision making. But let's focus on the game on Wednesday night against Orlando. Could have been sloppy. They made changes there to the starting lineup. There were a lot of factors to incorporate. Kelly Olynyk already told me how, you know, in our most recent interview, how it was a little weird going to an arena with fans in Tampa. And so there was something similar in Orlando. But I don't know how much of that was really a factor. Don't think it was. But it was supposed to be a much more exciting game. And unfortunately, it wound up just being kind of a dull affair. It was a very typical Heat Orlando slow fest, like where it was just not really knocking down great shots there. Not a lot of offense, good defense on occasion there, but some sloppiness all around, just a discombobulated effort. I guess it's still an exciting opportunity, though. The first game of the season, perhaps not an indicator of what to come, and maybe I'm just being a little down on it because it was a bad result. But there were positives from the game. I will, of course, get into those a little bit later, but that's the big story, I guess. It was at a season opener, a lot of unknown factors. Miami handled it mostly well and then just faltered towards the end. The little story of the game for me was something that I'm going to be monitoring throughout the season. That's Jimmy's health. After the game, he spoke about feeling okay, that he's not really too worried about it. He continued to fight through anything that happened. He rolled his ankle at one time, not because of any kind of foul contact or anything like that, and then he got hit again with Markel Fultz running into him. It looked like he was taking some unnecessary contact, and my thought is, well, here you go. He's going to start dealing with nagging injuries throughout the rest of the season, which is something that I saw firsthand last year. I don't know why everybody isn't talking about this, but to Jimmy that was there before the hiatus, which is, well, he looked like a mess, like he was walking around like somebody much older than he actually is. And my concern is, looking ahead to this season, as much as Jimmy is tough enough to fight through it and he's going to continue to give 100% because he would rather die than give less than 100%, I don't want him to have to deal with these kind of injuries, especially after one game, a meaningless game during a compressed season when there's so many different variables taking place here. And it's going to be about who has the deepest team, who can stay, committed and engaged for as long as the season is, because it's going to be a very difficult one, unlike any in NBA history. So I don't want to make too big a deal out of it because he wasn't going to, but it is a concern, and I will be looking out for it in the future. Then the other big storyline here for me, I have three major points that kind of take away from each game, and that I'll be doing that for my new listeners. If you have not heard of my recaps in the past, I try to focus on the main points here to give you the takeaway. You can always look at a different story or read a recap of it somewhere else that gives you more of the nitty-gritty. I don't think there was anything there regarding the last few minutes of the game. They kept it close. Miami clawed their way back, and then eventually they were they just couldn't knock down a shot, and they couldn't defend particularly well either. And so that's what resulted in the final score. But the three takeaways for me, really sloppy again, turnovers. That was the big factor for Miami. 22 turnovers overall. Started early. In the third quarter, they tied it up considerably. In the fourth quarter, they started turning the ball over again. Just seemed like there was some disconnect there from the players. There was the changes in the starting lineup. There was a lot of different little things like that. And you have to give Orlando credit. Everybody else did. Eric Spoelstra mentioned that there was three things that he felt were the reasons why Miami turned the ball over so much. It was the short turnaround, the short preseason, that ability, the inability to work on a lot of the factors that you regularly do during training camp. On top of that, there was also the opponent. The Orlando Magic are a very good team. They don't turn the ball over a lot. Steve Clifford teams rarely do. They also force a lot of turnovers. They play defense at a pretty high level, so you have to give them credit. And then Miami just looking for more of a home run, I think, than the small or smart play. That's something that Eric Spoelstra kept talking about, is that they were going through, trying to, instead of work the offense, they were trying to make bigger things happen. And I think one player in particular was most guilty of that. That was Tyler. I asked him about it and he kind of brushed it off. He just said, well, yeah, I kind of just said the three factors, and I think that's all there is to it. Tyler just looked like he was trying to do a lot. I have some questions that I was asked about Tyler's performance that I'll get to later on in the next segment. But as far as his overall play, he's solid as a shooter, and you know he was going to be. He's still able to get you that bucket, 13 points and 6 to 14 shooting. 1 of 5 from three-point range, a little surprising. Looked like he had a lot of wide-open shots too. Solid rebounder again, 6 rebounds and 4 assists. So it looks like he was trying to make plays too, which might have been the reason why he was forcing things a little, according to Spoelstra, according to a lot of you, according to what I saw as well. But there was just moments there where he seemed like he was getting stuck in traffic, not quite sure what to do with the ball in his hands. The handle was a little loose, a lot looser than you expected it to be, because he can create so well off the dribble, and yet he was chucking the ball up. He was just getting, the ball poked free of his hands, or he just would just bobble it at the wrong opportunities there. Not great. So Tyler did struggle a little bit, and he looked a little ugly in the starting lineup. He was a plus-minus-7, second worst to Bam Adebayo, who I'm not sure exactly what that represents, because he looked great out there for the most part. Another player who looked really good, though, Precious Achiuwa, finished with 14 minutes of play, 8 total points, 3 of 4 from the field, 2 of 4 from the line, also 3 rebounds. So not a great rebounding night. But let me tell you, watching Precious play, and everybody raved about it, he loves to engage. He loves mixing it up. He's constant energy, big motor, always seems to like have another level to him. And he's so athletic and explosive. And he has this really nice repertoire that he's building alongside Goran Dragic there as a lob threat. And it seems like it's just worked so well in the preseason. They were able to implement it against the Magic as well. So that's definitely a positive. I like to see how Precious was just constantly active, listening to his veterans, listening to his coach at one point, Eric Spoelstra, and him having a conversation on the sideline. And Precious spoke about that, too, after his the post-game media session. He mentioned how a lot of the veterans, Jimmy Udonis, et cetera, Kelly Olynyk even to some degree, just talking to him, explaining things, trying to teach him what to do next because he is learning. He is so young, but he looks solid. Let me tell you, I think it's only a matter of time before he eventually takes over the starting nod because I think he could be a better defender than Mo Harkless. But I'll talk about that when I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in the next segment before I answer your listener questions here on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest news, rumors, and analysis. When it comes to online betting, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% off and a welcome bonus. Remember, the NBA is just kicking off. You've got games all over the place, a full slate tonight. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get on the action. Make yourself some money, especially now around the holidays. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online. It's your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, you get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. So the good, the bad, the ugly, routinely a part of my post-game segment there. Aside from Precious, the rookie, I think Bam, as I mentioned before, did a phenomenal job. 35 minutes of play, the second most to Jimmy Butler's 36. A little too high for my taste, to be quite honest with you. But Bam did finish with 25 points. He was 11 of 16 from the field. Very aggressive looking for a shot. Defensively, he was phenomenal. Vucevic, Nikola Vucevic, who I am a big fan of personally and as a player as well. I think he's a solid passer and shooter. He looked completely bogged down there. Adebayo just stole his lunch repeatedly in the first half in particular. Vooch looked completely out of sorts, could not get his shot going, missed free throws, very uncharacteristically, 2 of 8 from the line for Vucevic, and I think Adebayo really did a number on him psychologically, which is very weird to say, but Bam, 11 of 16 from the field, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 turnovers, however, 1 block, not particularly great with that turnovers, just part of the whole kind of trying to figure it out. I'm not sure how those were charged. I'll have to go back and look at those because I don't think a lot of those were on him. I think he was trying to make plays, make the pass to somebody else, and maybe he or they were wind up bobbling the catch. So I don't know how much of that was on Bam and how much of that was on the receiver, or we'll have to go and see exactly what those turnovers look like because I don't think I didn't recall 7 of them coming from Bam. It didn't seem like he was mostly responsible. 6 attributed to Jimmy Butler as well. But Bam, I have to say, I know we've talked about it before. I know it's been a constant point of contention here. He does not look like a player who's signed a lot of money. He is the exact opposite of what Hassan Whiteside was after he signed that extension. And now I know that Hassan was bogged down by injuries a lot of that time after he signed that big deal. That was not his fault. His effort always seemed questionable, not the case with Adebayo. He's so engaged, so energetic, constantly moving around on defense, so good. And I continue to say that I think he will be recognized as one of the top defensive players in the league this year. Again, if not the defensive player of the year. That's just my feeling about Bam, is that he is just so good and impactful. You have to notice this. I wish I could have heard the Magic broadcast just to kind of get their sense of how good Adebayo was at limiting what Vucevic was able to accomplish, because honestly, Vucevic, a really solid scorer and rebounder, and he just completely seemed out of sorts with Adebayo all over him. But another positive out of the night, and there has to be some, Goran Dragic, 26 minutes of play off the bench, 8 of 13 for 20 points. Incredible. Just after a few months after a major injury and my debating whether or not he was actually going to retire or continue playing, who knows what was going to happen with him at his age, he went out there today and looked phenomenal. Just, I don't know if it's just a matter of him understanding the limitations of his body, continuing to fight his way through it. He's not quick. He's not as fast as he once was, certainly. He's not able to explode to the rim the way he once did. But he just seems to have a knack. And he's evolved his skill set so much, his shooting, his footwork. Everything around the basket has been taken to another level. And I tweeted this during the game, but his ability to evolve as a lob passer, considering how bad that connection was with guys like Jay Rich and Hassan Whiteside a couple years ago, now we're at a completely different level. And his work with Bam, his work with Precious, phenomenal work. I cannot say enough about it. And it was so good to see Dragic out there for one game looking really, really solid. He had the highest plus-minus rating of any member of the team, +7 over Precious Achiuwa's +6. So a good, really good outing for Goran Dragic. Again, 20 points off the bench. Not too early to start the Sixth Man of the Year campaign. I think he deserved it last year. I think he'll deserve it again this year. The bad, the turnovers, that was particularly sloppy. Again, to Eric Spoelstra's point, so much trying to incorporate this into a new game, short turnaround. Defense was actually pretty good on Orlando's side of things. All those different factors makes for a really unappetizing, ugly sandwich, a melange of crappy play. There's just no way around it. Part of the reason, at least from my perspective, and I know a lot of you felt the same way, Mo Harkless in the starting lineup did not look particularly good. And to everybody's credit afterwards, they did not say anything about Mo. Mo looked like he had a little bit of the Josh Richardson factor where he kept getting into his head. He missed a couple shots at the rim, had a wide open three that just could not convert. Only 1 of 5 overall from the field. Not a particularly great night for him. 3 points overall. So one three-pointer that he made down. Look, he did knock that first three-pointer down. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe this preseason was not an indicator, and he's actually going to take that Jay Crowder-esque level, as far as a leap is concerned. Nope. Did not happen. Wound up struggling a little bit off defensively. Seemed like he was clogging the paint. I don't know. I don't know if he knows what he's doing out there. And he was not available to media tonight, so my feeling is that he's probably feeling like crap, and he might not want to answer any questions for a while. Jimmy, being Jimmy, the shitty teammate that he is, and part of my French, but I can't believe that people were talking about him in that way for so long. He said Mo is a great player. He's great to have out there. His defensive versatility, he's a guy who can switch 1 through 4. He's going to be able to bring intensity. He's just a smart guy, etc. And then he also said, this is a direct quote from Jimmy Butler, I don't think I or we did enough to get him the ball. And then he continued on to say that it's more important to get most and more shots from beyond the rim, that they have to be able to get that weapon loaded and ready to go. It's just, that's very impressive to see teammates standing up for one another. I know it's the first game of the season. The chemistry and the camaraderie that we saw on display last year looks like it certainly has carried over this season as well. So I'm glad to see that's the case. A bad night for Harkless, no doubt about it. Hopefully he responds. I'm not sure that there are other options out there. I'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment because some of you had some questions about a young player in particular that did not get any playing time. The ugly, and this was, to me, aside from the turnovers, the ugliest aspect of it was Miami's bench. It was feast or famine out there. So you had Precious Achiuwa, really solid 14 minutes of play. Goran Dragic, 26 minutes of play, obviously really potent scoring. Then you had 20 minutes from Kelly Olynyk, unfortunately 5 minutes and not doing much of anything. Andre Iguodala, 17 minutes. Zeros all around. He finished with 4 rebounds, so at least there was that. Just wasn't engaged offensively, wasn't getting any looks, and maybe that's where he is at this point of his career. But, his playing time continues to decrease. I don't know what to make of Iguodala because in the bubble, it seemed like every time he would get 5, 10, 15 minutes, they were impactful ones. I can't say the same tonight, and maybe he's just not cut out for the regular season at this point in his career, unfortunately. But we'll see what happens moving forward. Maybe it just takes him a little longer to get engaged. We saw that last season as well when he first was acquired by Miami. He looked a little sluggish, eventually kind of caught on, kind of figured out the nuances. He just he needs to have that timing just perfect at this point in his career in order for him to feel confident and move confidently. Was not there. And then Kendrick Nunn, 8 minutes, and just did not look good towards the end of the second quarter there. And I'm not sure what his playing time is going to be like in the future. I'm not sure what the decision-making was either to get Nunn out there. So Udonis Haslem, Chris Silva, KZ Okpala, Myers Leonard, Avery Bradley, all did not play with coach's decision. Gabe Vincent, it was available, but he had a knee injury that he's been kind of working his way through. I'm not sure if that's just to kind of stash him on the injured reserve list. Max Strus, of course, they converted to a two-way contract earlier this preseason, also did not play. So, you know, they're on the roster. I'm not sure how much playing time they'll get moving forward. I'm not sure why Eric Spoelstra didn't go deeper into his bench. Some concerns there, and I know a lot of you had some potential questions about whether or not Eric Spoelstra was making some bad decisions, and I'll get into that in the next segment here on Locked On Heat. It's been a tough year for all of us. I know as the new year starts, I am just constantly feeling a little anxious, a little tired at points. There's always one point in the day where I'm hitting a wall. And it usually hits me early in the evening. I'm just exhausted. I just don't know if I want to fight my way through it. But sometimes I just go for a Bilko because that's been the solution to me, a healthy replacement to energy drinks. None of the fake additives, just natural ingredients, so I don't feel bad taking them. And it always gives me that boost of energy that I seem to be missing more and more lately. It comes in 1.5-ounce packages. They're easy to carry whenever that wall hits you, wherever it hits you, at a meeting, at work, or to power through a workout. Just put it in your pocket and get through your day. It's the best workout gel on the market. Comes in 3 delicious flavors. I told you about them before. Peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint, my wife's favorite. How does Built Go work so well? Well, I'm no scientist, but I know it combines energy gel with collagen protein that gets absorbed into your system quickly using vitamins, nutrients, honey, and just a kick of caffeine to keep you going strong while strengthening joints, soft tissues, hair, and skin. So you feel good and you look good too. So visit BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and always leave a review. This first question comes to me from good friend Maxwell Marshall, fine writer over at All You Can Heat. He asks, do you think Tyler Hero let the trade rumors get to him tonight? He definitely did not look like himself. You know, that's a tough question to answer. It's hard to kind of balance this because I feel like with Tyler, and I've mentioned this before, his confidence is always something that pops off there. But as I've said also, that confidence comes from his work ethic. And I feel like he has done enough to work to this point where he knows that he can get these shots off. He knows he can do what he has to do in order to help this team win. Do the trade rumors get to him? I think they do. I honestly do. I can't tell you how much or how little. You know, as I mentioned before, Eric Spoelstra deflected any criticism of Tyler. Nobody said anything about Tyler or she's struggling to play other than, again, Eric's veiled response regarding trying to go for the big home run rather than letting the offense kind of work itself through. Maybe that was a dig at Tyler. Maybe it was a dig at somebody else. It's hard to exactly interpret that. That's, you know, between Eric and the team and whatever they've said behind closed doors that I'm not privy to. As far as Tyler is concerned, he's young. He's on social media. His girlfriend is. I think she would have to see this kind of criticism. She would have to know about what's going on with the Houston trade rumors. It's the biggest story in the NBA, to be quite honest with you, with everything that's happened with James Harden over the last 24 hours. And what, you know, if you have not heard, and I find that hard to believe that you haven't and are still listening to this podcast, the Oklahoma City Thunder were set to play the Houston Rockets, but they couldn't play the Houston Rockets because of James Harden, because of his let's say whatever it was that he was doing to celebrate his life, according to him, not going to strip clubs, going to a party of a female friend. He was trying to help boost her business. You know, again, it doesn't matter to me whether he goes to strip clubs or not. I'm not going to pass judgment on that. It's not a moral issue for me. It's an issue about going out to places during the middle of a damn pandemic where you can potentially spread a disease that has cost, a lot of people their lives. And in the case of the NBA, it led to perhaps a couple of inconclusive tests or positive tests, as last reported at this point in recording. A couple of his teammates either, again, tested positively or had inconclusive results. They had to do contact tracing on a number of his teammates. It was just a big mess, and as a result, they didn't have enough players to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, so they didn't forfeit the game. They just had to have it postponed for a later date. And we're going to see a lot of this over the course of the season, because as players are doing whatever it is that they do outside of that, it's going to take a level of communication that probably is unrealistic, but just a level of conjunction and cohesiveness where you're aligned with each other as a franchise, as an organization, as a coaching staff, as a medical health professionals. You have to be working together. To Max's point about Tyler Hero, yes, he's probably heard the rumors. I don't think they get to him, because I think you kind of have to separate yourself even at 20 years old, which is what Tyler is. He's 20 years old. And you imagine you're drafted by this organization. They think highly of you. You're supposed to slip past the 13th pick or whatever, the 13th pick in the draft. And you're thinking to yourself, man, this organization really wants me here. It's part of the Kentucky lineage. Pat Riley went to Kentucky. So much of it, I fit so well alongside Bam and Jimmy Butler, have these really big moments in the bubble, really step up for this team, going to continue to do the work, want to be a part of this organization. And then all of a sudden you start hearing, well, we'll trade your ass in a second if it gets us James Harden. And I know I've been one of the people saying that sort of thing, and it's absolutely true. Look, I mean, from a Heat fan perspective or from a Heat front office perspective, they'll absolutely trade Tyler Hero. And that's the cold part of this business that does impact the players on a very deep personal level. So it has to have hurt. To what extent? I cannot say for certain. I know if you hear the rumors, it's going to bog you down. You probably want to try and prove your worth yourself, and you're fighting through your own inner demons or whatever it might be. Maybe you're able to shrug it off. But again, at 20, as inexperienced with this aspect of the game as he is, I'm sure it's probably not easy for him. My next question comes from Rachel Rose. She sends it in via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Rachel says, do you think how well Precious played will convince Eric Spoelstra to play KZ Okpala next game? Even if it's just in limited minutes, the energy and hustle of our young bigs ignites this team when needed. No, I don't think so, Rachel. I think Eric Spoelstra, I can't say he's set in his ways, because the bubble really did show me a level of flexibility. But the fact that he didn't even go to KZ at all was a little surprising. Again, considering he had a big game against the Toronto Raptors, and so much of your playing time is dictated by your practice level of effort, because that really resonates for this coaching staff. They want to see you bust your ass in practice, constantly making all the right plays, doing everything, make me see you, That's Eric Spoelstra's motto, and that translates into making me play you. And I guess KZ has not done enough. I'm not sure. We haven't heard what's happening behind the scenes in practice. I think a lot of players support Okpala, and maybe this is Eric Spoelstra kind of trying to put him for the fire and seeing how he responds to the adversity of not getting a lot of playing time, not getting anything handed to him, and seeing whether or not he bounces back. Maybe he tightens things up. Maybe he makes the right decision. Maybe he doesn't make any kind of young, boneheaded mistakes. I don't know. I really can't tell you, because it's so unusual that you're missing something, and you've got the right fit positionally and a guy who can shoot from the outside as he did against Toronto, and somehow you wind up playing Mo Harkless for 20-plus minutes a game and not playing other guys like KZ or Myers or somebody else. I agree. I agree with Rachel that, yes, Precious's energy and hustle certainly was a factor. I also don't know if it's going to be – I know KZ probably should have played some minutes, because why not play 5-10 minutes and take Mo out a little bit, because the issue was defensive one. And maybe – Okpala has the right kind of length and timing where he can intercept a pass here and there. Maybe he can body up a guy without getting into foul trouble. That would be my biggest issue then. It may be that Okpala isn't capable of staying out of foul trouble, and that would, you know, if that's the case, and maybe that's what Eric Spoelstra was thinking, then I can understand the decision-making process there. You know, Precious even was into foul trouble as well. Not foul trouble necessarily, but perhaps a little foul prone. He picked up 2 fouls in 14 minutes. You don't want to make a habit of this as a rookie, because then you start to get a reputation that is hard to shake. You know, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't think the two are supposed to be aligned. Precious is a first-round pick. KZ is a second-round pick. You know, you've invested time and money in both. I feel like you're probably going to want to showcase them at some point, and I know they're going to get some playing time. I wouldn't read too much into it, because ultimately I don't think we have any kind of plan about how minutes are going to get doled out. I don't think Eric Spoelstra knows exactly how minutes are going to get doled out. It's going to be predicated by injury, COVID-related concerns, potential matchups, things of that sort. So throughout the course of the season, I'm sure we will get players stepping in and out of the lineup, including the young guys like Precious and KZ Okpala. This next question comes from Noah, who is not really a question. Well, it kind of is. Same team that we always see when we play against the Magic. 8 years now. Why the hell does this always happen when we play against Orlando? You know, not to sound like a broken record, Noah, but I really do think a lot of what Eric Spoelstra said makes sense here, too. It's a good team, coached by Steve Clifford, even when it was a Frank Vogel team. Hell, even when it was a Jacques Vaughn-led team, it seemed like they always seemed to challenge Miami. But you know, there's that familiarity as a divisional opponent. They want to prove something. I'm sure as professional athletes with a level of pride, you don't want to hear "Let's go Heat" chants in your own home arena. That's got to piss you off. I'm sure they want to find a way to beat them. And look, Vucevic, as an individual player, with the exception of his bad play in the first half tonight, he does throw off a lot of what Miami could do when you had Hassan Whiteside, a slow, less mobile type player who couldn't guard you on the perimeter. So there's been a number of matchup problems over the course of the last couple of years. I think there's some pride on their part where they want to show up the much more successful team. You look at, you know, their two failed trips to the NBA Finals, and that's really the only success they've had. They've had some good runs here and there, but they haven't really been able to capitalize on anything. No championships, though they started in the NBA at the same time Miami did. So it's a very, very different time. And, you know, they were missing the playoffs a lot. This was a point of pride and contention for them to be able to show up their, you know, state rivals, I guess. We'll see what happens. You know, Myers Leonard's point last season was that we owned this team. We owned Florida. Did not look like that was the case today. Unfortunately, the Magic absolutely had the upper hand over the Heat for most of the game. Although Miami's effort was solid, not a great effort from them. Turnovers aside, what else went wrong? I think that's it. You know, I think there was a lack of cohesion there, as I've mentioned before. That question, by the way, I'm sorry, comes in from Heat's Check. I don't want to ignore him. I feel like just trying to force everything, trying to get everything incorporated on the same page was a lot more difficult than I had anticipated. I thought there would be a lot more cohesion, considering the fact that this team was mostly put together exactly as it was at the end of last year, you know, with the exception of the loss of Derek Jones Jr. and Jay Crowder. It was pretty much the same exact team. So I don't know exactly what the issue was. And maybe that's the point. Maybe we should just leave it at a positive note. You know, maybe from now on, moving forward, I'm going to leave this show on a positive note. No matter how bad it happens, we're still so lucky to be able to watch the NBA being played that they haven't had any issues with boneheaded players or COVID or anything like that. It's been so positive. This is one game out of 72. You know they're going to find a way to get through it. They weren't going to start off the season going 15-0 or anything like that. It's just this team may not be built for the regular season. If that's the case, we'll see what happens. They're going to be fine. They'll figure it out. This team is too good, too deep, and too well coached to have any kind of long-term, sustainable issues. They'll figure it out soon enough. They'll be just fine, and they're still going to be my pick to represent the East in the NBA Finals and probably win a title. But moving on, when you feel the need for fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. And trust me, nobody is more trustworthy than our own Josh Lloyd, the host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Great guy. I've been on his show a number of times. Nobody knows more about the league and about fantasy basketball than him. and he's got the best fantasy basketball podcast out there. Subscribe to the number one podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get podcasts. Remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat as soon as you get in your car. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support.